Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Wolf Bits News. This is part of the Chase the Wolf radio show network. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for being here today. This will be our first episode that we are rolling out. It's been in production for a number of weeks, trying to prepare for, you know, bringing you both the old news, the current news, new news, in response to the wolves. We were two-legged wolves, not the four-legged wolves in the wild. My name is Dan Meadows, and I'll be your news anchor for this morning. Again, this is part of the Chase the Wolf radio show, the CTW Media Group. Chasing Wolf Productions helped to produce this particular show. Our news segment, news shows are geared towards, again, not the four-legged wolves of the wild. It's the two-legged wolves, the criminals, the thuglians, the corrupt politicians who are out there, which there are many, has to do with terrorists and hate groups and anarchists alike. It has to do with people who are hell-bent on destroying this great nation of ours through their own destructive means, societal collapse, criminal acts, political agendas, terrorist events, and so much more. Again, this is Dan Meadows. So what we're going to do today is March 7th, 2021, and it'll be our first show rollout here. So get right into it. So what we do is we bring you the very best and old, current, and new news each and every week right here on the Wolf Bits News Radio Network. So we'll go with the new news to begin with. Hope each and every one of you are doing well. I know you have a lot of news in your area, and I'm going to ask you later on in the show, maybe you can reach out and send us some news, let us do some research on it, do a little fact checking on it, and then maybe we'll produce it and put it right onto the show itself. I'd like to maybe also interview some of you and some of the news that might be in your areas. On Saturday morning of this week in Portland, Oregon, the Portland Public School headquarters was the recipient, if you will, or they were had arson attack, damage done to their properties. It was found on Saturday morning of this week, yesterday. There was a number of maintenance vehicles that were damaged. There was a food truck damaged. And what was found was that, it was additional damage to the vehicle, not the vehicle, but the businesses. There was a lot of graffiti found on it. There was some vandalism done to the building as well. And there was, slogans or mantras of Antifa and BLM or Black Lives Matter, the radicalized portion of that group that was pasted on the wall. There was an anarchist sign or symbol that was there as well. As reported in recent history in Portland, Oregon, if you've followed any of the activities in that area, there's been a number of businesses, restaurants, Other locations that have been damaged due to, you know, a wide variety of vandalism, breakage of windows, graffiti painted, you know, even some stores and businesses were set on fire in that area. You know, you have a lot of Antifa, Black Lives Matter movement in the Portland, Oregon area. You know, some of the politicians have just stepped up to the plate in trying to get some type of a semblance of law and order there, even though they are, you know, don't believe too much in the police, or at least some of them don't believe in the police and even want to defund the police in those areas. So that's just one area of the world, Portland, Oregon, who is experiencing a lot of vandalism continuing. It's no surprise news to many of you, especially if you live in that particular area. Anyway, take a special note. You know, I always say, you know, observe and report activities, criminal activities, thuggling activities to, you know, your local law enforcement agencies. In Texas, as of, you know, very recently, there's been an increase in you know, border protection crackdowns is going. It's an effort to stop, you know, child trafficking, drug trafficking, drug smuggling in the area, human trafficking of a number of sorts. I think there was a vehicle just recently. They slipped through a gate somewhere in South Texas. There was quite a few people. I think it was over, you know, around two dozen or more people that was stuffed inside of a van. It got involved in a vehicle accident with a truck, and there were a number of those people who were killed. And that was, you know, human smuggling that was going on there. But it's been a big crackdown with the Department of Public Services there in Texas, trying to crack down on that. Now, you know, your southern borders have been opened up. There's a lot of illegal immigrants who are coming across. You know, a lot of drug trafficking going on, a lot of coyotes, you know, helping people to get across, you know, charging them, you know, mass money, you know, amounts of money to get them across. And if they get caught, they don't care, because they know on the other side of that, you know, they're going to, you know, probably get you again and again trying to get into these United States. Why not do it, you know, responsibly? Why not do it, you know, legally, versus part of the illegal activities? Of course, Joe Biden and his crew is, you know, opening up those southern borders, especially with all the COVID, and they don't seem too darn responsible about that. They don't seem to care over there in Washington, D.C. So, you know, that's just some of the new news that's going on. I know there's quite a bit, but, you know, this is a, you know, short show, and we'll try to go on. Some of the more current news, and not so much new news, if you will. The Capitol riots back on January 6th have netted over 300 arrests of people. There's at least 540 investigative files that have been opened by the Capitol Police, the FBI, and number of other law enforcement or federal law enforcement agencies in and around the D.C. area. If you travel, and I traveled down to Charlotte, North Carolina, not long ago, and they had these electronic signs, these neon-looking signs that are there and you know, flashing, you know, every few minutes about, you know, if you see something, say something. If you know these people that was involved in the riots and the as they call the insurrection up there of supporters, and many of them blame Trump and his supporters for doing just that. And there was, but there was a lot of other people that was involved in it as well, both, you know, behind the scenes and in front of the cameras and such that were involved in it, on both sides of the fence, both sides of the political spectrum. That was helping involved in that and ramping it up and getting it going. But anyway, there's been at least 300 arrests on that. You know, what's surprising to me for all these people, you know, the assault on the Capitol, the theft of particular items and such. I mean, you know, it's uncalled for. It shouldn't have happened. Those who, you know, did this should be responsible for, you know, their actions or activities, the planning and everything that was involved in it. and should be brought to justice. But equally so, you know, it's so much emphasis that was put on that and lesser emphasis put on, you know, these towns like Portland, Oregon or Seattle, Washington, which are attacked and destroyed and burned down, like many other cities, and burned down. And, you know, where is the justice with this? I'm not going after those who are responsible for the riots and the protests that became very violent. You know, where is the justice involved in putting, you know, marquees or neon signage up to try to bring those people to justice as well? Just, you know, just kind of wonder, you know, are they after just one particular group of people, one particular race of people, or are they after, you know, justice, you know, being blind? Justice should be, you know, held to a higher standard, and any and all who break the law should be brought to justice as well. In Arkansas, unfortunately, and tragically, just recently, it was a 15-year-old junior high school student, 15-year-old student who was shot by a classmate. It seems that particular student who died, the student did die, was targeted by another student. The motives have not been disclosed, but this young man, this 15-year-old, he died just recently in Arkansas Children's Hospital. You know, you have people who are against crimes, the use of firearms and such as that. And my question to you as a firearms instructor of many years is, you know, how did that child, that 15-year-old, get a hold of the gun? Was it through illegal means? The child who was the perpetrator of the crime, did they steal it from, you know, a family member, a friend, a friend's house? Did they, you know, because it was unsecured, both in their home or in a friend's home, or maybe it was bought or traded on the streets, and maybe they used that firearm on the streets. I haven't read all of the information that should have been put out. You know, it's very limited in scope, I guess, because it's a child that's involved in it, but it's a very adult crime that's involved in, you know, I've been, you know, involved in, you know, military and law or military operation, but I've been involved in law enforcement operations for a number of years where children are involved in and are the attackers, the perpetrators of the crime. So, you know, it's a very adult crime. I do hope that young shooter is brought to justice, and I hope that, you know, it's investigated further, whereas, you know, the safety of that firearm, that weapon, the people who were involved in that, maybe they'll be brought to justice as well. Throughout the United States and in other countries as well, I'm sure there's a dramatic rise, especially during the pandemic timelines, of Asian American hate crimes. Now, you know, you might be upset with China and upset with China about, you know, putting their communism ways here in these United States. And maybe that's rightfully so, but you shouldn't be taking it out on the people who are here, who are, you know, very well, you know, NGO has some you know, of Asian descent within his particular family structure, his heritage, if you will. And he's been attacked. He's, you know, couple of years ago, he even wrote a book about his being attacked by Antifa members. And so, you know, there's a lot of attack. It's up at least in about 16 states here in these United States. It's up at least 150%. Now, you have statisticians who keep these statistics together. You have the Bureau of Justice statistics that are out there and you know, relating to, you know, reported crimes. Yeah, it could be 150. It could be more than 150 because not all crimes are reported, unfortunately, and should be, you know, whether it's for, you know, trying to keep you know, the secrecy of a particular victim, or, you know, they're traumatized by the whole experience and don't want to share it with others. So it's at least up to that. If you don't like someone, don't take violence and displeasure out on them. Just, you know, keep to yourself and move on. That's not the thing that you want to be dealing with that. But anyway, it's up, and it's attributed to, you know, these events, these attacks, these hate crimes are attributed to, being locked down. It's frustration, economic or social frustration of being locked down. These masked moments that they have to wear masks and such as that. And, you know, some people are blaming it. Some people blamed the Trump administration when it was in for the anger that's being displayed. Well, quite honestly, the anger should be displayed and the blame should be put on the persons or groups or whoever who are perpetrating those crimes, not necessarily a particular, political group per se. Although if you look at the political groups, if they back it, if they say this is the thing to do, go after them, then yeah, by all means, they should be, implicated in that as well. There has been a suspect arrested in Sweden. There was an axe attack that took place over there. I'm reading seven or eight people that were seriously injured. Over there, there's a number of knife attacks that's going on over there. And the authorities there, it was initially investigated as a suspected terrorist crime. But what they've done is they've reduced it. The local authorities there have reduced it or downgraded it to a suspected attempted murder. Seriously? Murder. So you don't feel that, it may have been politically motivated. You don't know what the background of the individual is, and you've already downgraded it to a suspected attempted murder. How about it is attempted murder, and this is the person that done it, and I'm sure there's quite a few witnesses, and the seriousness of this particular crime should be investigated and documented and charged, with a terrorist crime, a terrorist event. Some of the things that we'll be talking about shortly in our next show coming up on Top of the Hour. So they're still investigating. It's still, a possible terrorism that's involved. But, stay tuned. And we'll give you maybe an update on that at a later time. Over in Iowa, Ankeny, Iowa town, might be a town, might be a city. They had a live pipe bomb. They were going through a special election over there, and there was a live pipe bomb that was found in this Lakeside Center location. And so the law enforcement, ATF agents, the FBI responded. They were able to successfully remove that pipe bomb from that location. They detonated it at an off-site location or nearby location, and then they were able to resume their polling activities on that. So, when you find something, you see something that may be suspicious, that may be, it may have had the resemblance of a pipe bomb. It may have been in a suitcase. It could have been in a package that was left. If you find something suspicious and no one comes around, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Notify law enforcement. I would suggest removing yourself from that area, notifying others maybe, and then notifying law enforcement. Sometimes you want to make sure that you do it where there's no radio transmission or maybe even a telephone transmission. You don't want to be that close to it because you don't know what type of detonating device or timer device it's up to it. You might be in dangerous way on that. In another area, part of the January 6th alleged insurrection, the attack on the White House, there was an Oath Keeper, a person by the name of Jessica Watkins, who was arrested and charged with committing the crime of terrorism. on the Capitol riots, the prosecutors say. I'm not real sure that's going to fly, because I don't, you know, some of the places, some of the federal charges, stuff like that, there's charges for, you know, foreign terrorism, but some of the domestic terrorism laws have just not been written or passed through the Senate or the legislative branches of our government or and such as that. So, but this former Army, U.S. Army veteran, has been arrested for that. But I still go back and wonder, you know, if they're going to charge this person with the possibility of charging this person with domestic terrorism, my question is why isn't, white supremacists, white nationalists who create terror, domestic terrorism, or Antifa or BLM, Black Lives Matter, commit acts of terrorism. Why is that not called that? It's mostly friendly protests is what I hear. In relation to the same event, January 6th, there was a Trump State Department appointee, Federico Klein, a 42-year-old male subject, who was charged with assaulting a federal officer, use of a riot shield to enter into and to restrict the closing of a door, used a riot shield, entered into a restricted area, the violent entry, disorderly conduct, resisting officers with a dangerous weapon. You know, any weapon, any instrumentality, any weapon that you pick up, an ink pen could be considered as a deadly weapon if it was, you know, if you created an imminent threat of death, a great bodily harm to someone else, and you used it in such a fashion that would do it, you know, a stick, a crowbar, you know, a knife, you know, a gun, definitely, but, you know, just other implementations can be used. If you used, a fire extinguisher, it was reported up there as being used. I think that may have been debunked. But, if that was used to attack someone else, that's attack with a deadly weapon. So these things are done. So this was a Trump State Department appointee, numerous charges brought against that person. There are a number of people who are still in jail who have not bonded out of jail up in the D.C. area due to that. Some of the other if you'll say crime or criminal activities or what may be found to be criminal activity, maybe through, you know, Department of Justice, New York Department of Justice, whatever state attorney general's office. You have Andrew Cuomo out there. You're seeing a lot of him in the news right now. It's my understanding there's been more, three, possibly even four people come up. And, say that they were harassed as part of, you know, whether it's you think it's Me Too or whatever, been harassed sexually by Andrew Cuomo. There's also, he's being investigated for, you know, possible crimes, cover up crimes, if you will, doctoring documents, if you will, of the nursing home deaths, kind of a cover up with that, you know, undercounting, not giving the true numbers. You know, I told you, and sometimes it's subjective, all the numbers that are put out there and how they're put out there, both in, you know, state, federal government, local areas, community, you even get the demographics in particular areas that are, the numbers are fudged. For, you know, what they think is the good of the order at that time. A North Carolina man faces charges of more than 100 counts of secret peeping and indecent liberties with a minor. There's a guy by the name of Michael Justin Childers, 32 years of age. He's under a $1.25 million secured bond at this time. He was arrested this past Thursday for 53 counts of felony secret peeping. She peeping Tom laws, as we used to call it many years ago, 55 counts of felony possession of secret peeping material. It means he filmed those people. He documented, whether it was with a camera, whether it was a video on individuals. He also is being brought on charges of 9 counts of felony indecent liberties with a minor. back when I was a detective many years ago, I used to investigate a number of crimes like that. He's in the Alexander County Sheriff's Office, and he appears in court this upcoming Monday. On February 8th, there was a Virginia man by the name of William Rankin who was charged with attempted murder in connection with the shooting of a Virginia Social Security office. He shot a security guard at that location. He walked in with a handgun. He also walked in with a rifle bag and had quite a bit of ammunition with him. He exchanged gunfire with the security officer. He wounded the security officer. Security officer, however, was able to return fire, thankfully, and Rankin was stopped by that security officer, the heroic efforts of that security officer. Security officer is going to make a full recovery, it sounds like, but William Rankin passed away this past week from the gunshot wounds he received from that officer. Going to go to one more real quick. Dallas officer. A Dallas police officer who has been there for a number of years, Brian Reiser, a 13-year veteran of the force, been charged with two counts of arranging murders or killings of two individuals back in 2017. He's booked in the Dallas County Jail just very recently. He was arrested as, you know, connected in you know, such a way that for the deaths of Alisa Sienz, 31, and Albert Douglas, 61 years of age. There was three other people who were arrested for those crimes, and they dropped a dime on this officer, and the officer is going to be brought to justice as well. Some of the old news, you got cold cases in the area. There's a cold case, and I'm going to, you know, report on some of the old news because, you know, for those of you who are out there, and I've done cold case investigations for years, a homicide investigator for years, a lot of cold case activities out there. There's at least 30 plus cold case files on the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation website at ncsbi.gov. Let's see, back August 29th of 1990, one person by the name of Emma Mae Terry, African-American female, was assaulted and killed at her home. She was in the driveway underneath the carport. She was assaulted and killed with a knife, and a cinder block was used. She was found deceased at 12:30 a.m. It is a cold case file. No witnesses have come forward. No further information has come about. But this is a case over in Vance County with the Vance County Sheriff's Office. Do you have any information on that? Please call them at area code 252-738-2220. Vance County Sheriff's Office at 252-738-2220. Or you can call the State Bureau of Investigation for North Carolina at 1-800-334-3000. You know, it's some of the old news and cold case. A lot of cold case files can be solved if people would just come forward, and hopefully that you will. You know, too many times the mainstream media news comes forward and, you know, they're one-sided, they're censored, they're biased, racially motivated. They have certain opinions about it from their anchors, their news reporters out there. What we want to try to do here at Wolf Bits News is give you the facts, give you the information, and you decide on what it is that you need to do to help, you know, stop crimes from these criminals, these thuglings and such as that. So at Wolf Bits News, we bring you the news. We bring you the facts, we bring you the stories, and we will continue to chase the wolves in the world of news. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. Our next show is going to start at 10 o'clock, Chase the Wolf radio show. Hope to see you then. And as always, make sure you chase the wolves.